Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan, brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murrah.
We love those guys. We want you to go see them. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
You can go vote on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account right now. It's our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. We want to know from you on our 106.7 The Fan Twitter account if LeBron James has a point. Do you agree with him that he gets too much grief for not winning more championships? Yes or no? The Metropolitan poll of the day every day here on Grant and Danny is brought to you by our friends, local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. If you're moving, you got to call Metropolitan Moving and Storage. So, Danny, before we hit the phones, I guess to sum up my take, I wanted to be Team LeBron all the way here because I actually do think ring culture is crazy, and I think specifically in other sports, it's just out of control. I think it's most reasonable to count rings and hold them for or against people in basketball, even though LeBron deserves more championships than he has right now. But I can make the case that nobody's ever been more responsible than he is for the results of his team, in the sense of basketball, you just have more say over the result, and he also plays coach and GM and so many other roles within the team. That having been said, it just doesn't work for me for him to get to now do this. This was the same guy that at one point was saying, I'm not here to win 3 or 4. It's not 5, not 6, not 7. You were Mr. Talk About Rings. That's all you did early in your career. You hop around to go get rings, and now you're upset because other people talk about them too much, as is the case with a lot of things that he ends up taking issue with. It's just too wishy-washy for me.
Yeah, the taking issue with it, wrong. So whiny. So, you know, so victim-y.
I can't handle it. It's not your job.
Right.
Let other people fight that for you. You can't sound good doing this. To your point, in terms of, you sound like a baby. It just sounds like you're crying over spilled milk. Even if you're right, you lose. It looks bad.
Right. So, but his point, though, that we are a playoff ring championship obsessed culture, you're damn right. 100% that's a thing. Nobody remembers who the NCAA, the Final Four, the national champion. No one remembers who had a really good season, was a one seed that lost in the Sweet 16 that year. No one cares. We are a tournament obsessed people. We always have been. Most places where they do sports around the world, it's not really that way. The playoffs aren't really as much of a thing. It is an American deal, North American especially. We love tournaments. We love playoffs. Regular season is just a prelude. It's an appetizer to that playoff thing. We put so much outsized importance on a much smaller sample of games. We always have. I kind of lament that, right? I mean, there are guys that aren't very well thought of because of quote-unquote playoff performances or this guy was a choker forever. I mean, Bonds was viewed as a quote-unquote choker in the postseason because he didn't have a good playoff series that time. Or, you know, Lamar Jackson currently, no one thinks he's any good because they don't win in the postseason. It's something that I lament, and I think he's got a point about that. But then when you start to translate it to me, aka being LeBron, that's enough. Enough of that.
Let's go to Ron, who's in Richmond, on Grant and Danny. How are you, Ron? Thanks for the call.
I'm good. How about how you fellas doing?
Good, buddy.
With LeBron, I think what it is this is his attempt to try to level the playing field. Because if he had got these multiple rings in Miami, we would not be having this conversation. But anytime he's compared to the GOAT, anytime that's done, people will throw the rings in his face. So now he's trying to level that. And the whole thing about it is, the ring thing does not. If he takes that out of the equation, then he tries to make himself more, I guess, to be able to compare to Jordan, which there is no comparison. Like I said before, the thing about it is, people that like LeBron are the ones that says he's the GOAT. All of us that says Jordan is the best, we are not all Jordan fans. Jordan made us see it that way. He was feared. And when you're feared, no other player has ever said that they feared LeBron. You know, Shaquille O'Neal, all other players have said that they were afraid of Jordan. And there's a reason for it. So trying to level the playing field, talking about rings, be like, if he had 10, 12 rings, will we be having this conversation? Fellas, I don't think so.
Let's go to Vargas in Gaithersburg. Does he have a point about ring culture? And is he the right guy for the message when he was Mr. Let's Talk Rings early in his career?
Yeah, hey, guys. LeBron absolutely has a point about rings culture here. I'll start off with saying, Grant, I think you're putting too much weight into the not five, not six, not seven. You know, to me, that was just a hyperbolic, emotionally written statement, essentially during an improv theater stage performance.
Okay, but every move he's made is to go chase another ring. It's to sit there and act like it doesn't have any value or mean anything to him is silly.
That's fair. But I also think that we have to look at his comments and, you know, we have to look at his comments and LeBron kind of in general somewhat through, I think he's got PTSD from the prime Skip Bayless days, talking late 2000s, early 2010s. You know, Skip and many others displayed almost the otherworldly, preposterous LeBron derangement syndrome, which I think trickled down to other malleable fans. And I don't think the point is solely about him. I think it's just a general talking point that applies to just basketball talk, because he does have four rings, so it's not like he's sitting at zero.
Yeah, he's not some zero ring bum, to your point.
I actually love the Bayless point too.
Mm-hmm.
The disdain for him from some of the folks in the media over the years was ridiculous. It really was.
Yes.
I mean, here's what LeBron James has been: a guy that was super famous as a teenager in high school, who was considered the chosen one as a senior at St. Vincent St. Mary, to the point that they put most of his games on television. I don't know how old I was, but I remember watching them as a teenager, as a kid, whatever I was. I watched his high school season because I was told this guy was going to be the next great thing in the NBA. And then, by God, Danny, he was.
He was.
It doesn't happen. Bryce Harper, him, that's kind of the list. You don't see it. Normally, the Freddie Adu thing is a flash in the pan.
Right.
You won't believe how great this guy is going to be, they said. And then, where is he? You know, I remember Robert Stock, the 16-year-old baseball player that was on the cover of everything. And I think he's a reliever for the Padres or bounced around now. But he was supposed to be like this two-way player, Shohei Ohtani thing. It doesn't happen. It never happens. LeBron, it did. Huge success story. Huge win. By and large, seemingly like decent human being. Hasn't been arrested. It's a great story. It's an American success story. It's a win. That's all true from 10,000 feet. But just some of how he, the things that he plays victim on, or like the hypocrisy of so many of his actions, without even getting into any off the floor stuff, it's exhausting. That's all I can say about it. It is fatiguing. You know, how many times that there's videos of this guy is like talking about knowing something before other people didn't. It's like, why do you have to say that? First of all, you didn't. Second of all, it's just like a dude that is like a roll your eyes guy at the party when he starts talking. He walks into the room with a book and everyone's like, oh, what are you reading? And he's like, oh, you caught me. I'm reading this. And then they're like, oh, what's your favorite part about it? And he's like, oh, I just started it. He's done that. Like there's pictures online of like eight books that he's done this. You know what I'm saying? Like he just tries so hard. That's what's tough about it. But is he an amazing story? No doubt.
On the whole. Yeah.
He's got a point here. I'd love to be able to just say he's 100% right and move on, but you want to compare yourself to the quarterbacks who stayed with one team for 20 years and could never win because they didn't have a good defense, or the baseball player who gets 500 at-bats but doesn't pitch, doesn't, in some cases, you know, if you're a DH, play defense, or in a lot of cases, barely impacts the game defensively at one of nine positions. It's not the same. You've got to take onus or at least acknowledge you had way more control over those other guys, too.
Without a doubt. I mean, you think about the impact you can have offensively, defensively. And to his credit, by the way, he's been a defensive player of the year candidate.
Yes.
Right? As Jordan was many times. Kobe Bryant was on the all-defensive team. You can have an outsized impact on a basketball court at both ends, playing north of 80% of the minutes in meaningful games. There's no other sport where you can have that kind of influence. Imagine the quarterback passing to himself. You call your own number. Somebody comes out and runs a screen for you. You, as the ball handler, are now making every single decision. You might even get it back on the same play. It, the outsized influence a basketball player has, where you are 20% of the lineup at all times, no other sport comes close to that ratio. The quarterback at most is just under 10% of the personnel that are on the field at any given time. There's no other sport that's like it other than individual sports. Basketball is the closest we have to an individual game, like a tennis or a golf or whatever. So the outsized influence you can have, it's the only sport where I think it is fair to say, you know, what has this person accomplished? What has this individual guy done? And, you know, we think of the guys that are the alphas because the way teams are always built. One team over the last, what would you say, 40, 50 years, has been designed like those Pistons championship teams with a bunch of former Wizards, by the way, the Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups. No one star on that team. Really good players, obviously, right? Playing really well together, coming together, being part larger than a whole. It's basically who was the MVP that year, who was the superstar that was willing to do a little bit less and be more of a second banana, a role player taking less money, or a star turning into a role player, and then a couple of glue guys and some great health. That's who won the championship that year. Go back and point to it. It's the same every damn time. And you chased every single year your own recipe, your own group of guys together, manipulating the entire league basically around you. He changed the league when he said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. It became the norm. Everybody now gets together in the Hamptons or some other place. Now it's via Zoom maybe, or you're hanging out in Vegas or Phoenix or something, and you decide which super team you're going to join next. That's the world that he made. You don't get to bitch about any part of it. It's like WandaVision. Now I'm going somewhere. Wanda made the town. She's in the town that she made because she was grief-stricken because Vision passed away. Spoiler alert if you're not a Marvel fan, all right? At the hands of Thanos.
Just ruin
WandaVision. It's been out for 4 years. So Thanos takes Vision, uses the time stone, takes it out of his head. Vision's dead.
This is ridiculous. I'm literally on episode two right now.
Wanda's in Westview. She made the whole town.
Enough.
You don't get to bitch about the crosswalk, Wanda. You made it with your own grief.
Do you know that Michael Jordan, 9 different times, led the NBA in scoring while being first team all defense? 9 times. Led the league in scoring, first team all defense.
Come on.
Let's go to Reese in St. Mary's. What's up, Reese?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How y'all doing?
Hey, dude.
Doing well.
Yeah, I don't think he have no point. What he doing is, he know, no matter what, if he only end up with 4 rings and he trying to figure out if he don't get number 4 rings, where his legacy going to be? Because to me, Jordan is the best because he got 6 rings, plain and simple. Kobe, who out there with him with 5? Tim Duncan. So you either have to choose, to me, between Kobe and Tim Duncan for what they did.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Right? So, like, Bill Russell has the most rings. Is he the number one all time?
I would say that. The only reason why I see Jordan at all. So we already know Bill Russell. You know, you got to say he's number one. But for culture and everybody saying it and they not putting him in it, which we know he's supposed to be in it, but so we're going to just go with Jordan because we already know Bill Russell is automatic. Jordan even said that. But now he's scared that you're going to go with Steph Curry and LeBron James come up from got 4. Where did Steph Curry win 5?
So he's ring guy. Reese is.
Right.
And by the way, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate you. And I'm not telling you anything other than glad you called. But he's basically, his all-time rankings, all you need to do is go, who's won the most rings? And you pull that up. Now, he suggested Jordan, it sounded like, at some point said Bill Russell was the GOAT because he's won the most rings. Did Jordan say that at some point?
I don't know. Because if he's doing it just in terms of, if you're only talking about rings, then it's, you know, Robert Horry's number 2 and you know, Bill Russell's number 1. But again,
Russell's an 11-time NBA champion. But I have a hard time believing Michael Jordan ever gave anybody else GOAT status.
Well, in the and this is important, and I've argued with a bunch of old timers about this, by the way, and you know some of them. The modern era of rules and like player assignments and amateur scouting and the leveling of the playing field with salary caps and resources and all those sorts of things, there is kind of a before and after. So when the Celtics are kicking everybody's ass for whatever it is, you know, the entire decade of the 60s, and two other professional teams are worth a damn, it ain't the same as a world global talent pool coming after it, right? I mean, you don't have any Nikola Jokic's because Nikola Jokic, when he lived at that point in time in the whatever country, he's throwing a javelin or kicking a soccer ball and is, you know, working as a plumber. That never happens. There's no Dirk Nowitzki. There's no international player. There's no Canadian winning the MVP of your league simply because it didn't exist.
Sure.
Now it does.
It's the modern era. Hard to compare.
Right.
I mean, you could say the same, like the talent in the sport is better right now than it was then when Jordan played. Although I would say, like, shot making and things like that, I would just point out to all the people, because I'm getting some on Twitter saying, I got this one guy here. Let me read this to you. He says,
I'm in the middle of responding to this guy right now, by the way.
Jordan's competition cannot make the rosters of LeBron's competition. Of course, his resume looks better.
Couldn't make the roster.
First of all, I disagree with the point largely. I do think there were plenty of guys playing in the league at that time that wouldn't make it now. Just like I always joke about Babe Ruth couldn't hit 100 in the big leagues today, era by era, like bigger, faster, stronger, better. I think that that's true. More athletic. A lot of those guys couldn't cut it in today's NBA, if that's what he's saying. But it is easier today to score than it's ever been, to play in the league, to stay healthy, to get buckets, to do anything on the offensive end, to win, joining Avengers and jumping around, than it was in that era.
You're telling me that Isaiah, Magic, Olajuwon, Robinson, Dominic Wilkins, Gary Payton, Charles Barkley, Shaq, Tim Duncan, Allen Iverson, Ray Allen, Chris Webber, Grant Hill, Alonzo Mourning, Patrick Ewing, Dikembe Mutombo, Scottie Pippen, Jamal Mashburn, Larry Bird, Chris Mullin, Glenn Rice, Bernard King, Clyde Drexler, Anthony Hardaway, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, and James Worthy couldn't play today?
But he wasn't saying the stars couldn't play. I think
Jordan's competition. That's who he's referring to.
I took it to mean just like that there were a lot of guys in the league then that wouldn't be in the league now, which I do think is a fact. If you're just lining everyone up based on talent.
Jack Haley couldn't make it in today's NBA. That's fine.
But I think that's what he's saying. And you know, there were plenty of nights where Jordan's getting 56 on some dude who couldn't play in the league. That's fine. But my point is there were a lot of nights where he was getting his ass beat and knocked to the floor and fouled in a way that if LeBron, who falls to the ground and rolls around like a European soccer player, when somebody grazes his nose, if he played in the old NBA, you want to talk load management? I'd like to see game logs. I mean, you can't touch LeBron James without him acting like you just shot him with a, you know, I don't have firearms, so I don't know the word. I was going to use like a, you know, some kind of 400 gauge, but I don't know what that means. Someone would have to help me. But the point of the dude's story is, Danny, Jordan had to deal with a lot in that era that LeBron doesn't have to deal with. I'll bet you Michael Jordan in this era would be just fine.
I bet you'd do okay.
I think he'd be okay.
The guy they let, they allowed people to clothesline and basically have a bunch of dudes in the lane. I mean, they changed all the rules, dude, for him and Shaq.
Let's go to Devon in D.C. What's up?
Thank you for taking my call, man. I got to get my point off real quick, okay? The argument that people say that LeBron had all of this help and this and that, when no one ever criticizes Jordan, he had Scottie, he had the NBA three-point champion, he had a two-time defensive player of the year in Dennis Rodman, and he had the highest salary cap in the league, damn near twice the league his whole career. Go look it up. The Bulls salary cap was nearly twice every other team's. And people make it seem like Jordan had no help on his team through all of that. The super team started with Boston, created a super team to beat LeBron, but everyone faults LeBron as starting the super team.
Wow. Well, there's a difference between the super team, a well put together group, Danny Ainge executing a Godfather trade, versus I get together in the Hamptons with a couple of guys and take my talents to South Beach. That's the super team difference. There have been great teams before. Like the Lakers were a super team in the 80s with four Hall of Famers in the starting lineup. Like that's a super team. Them in Boston going back and forth. You can look at a game with Bill Walton sitting on the bench and there are 11 Hall of Famers in a game. So yes, those are super teams, meaning they're great. But the definition of it begins to me with take my talents to South Beach and a couple of guys I've been texting with behind the scenes.
Part of the reason why the Bulls salary cap was so much higher than other teams is because Michael Jordan himself at that time made more than 19 teams made.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, there were 19 teams that made less than Jordan's salary alone. So, yeah, their salary as a team was going to be a lot higher. But no, I don't think anybody's ever suggested he did not have help. I don't think that's the acknowledgement. But respectfully, Steve Kerr or B.J. Armstrong or Luke Longley or Tony Kukoc or Bill Weddington or any other Jet Bushler, Pippen, great Robin, no doubt about it. But this is nothing like what LeBron has done, where this year it's Luka. Last time it was, Kyrie. Before that it was Dwayne Wade. Give me a break.
Yeah, and the three-point champion reference for Craig Hodges is a great pull, by the way, because that was when the three-point contest was new and exciting and fresh. But Hodges would not play for weeks at a time in a different league when they're running the triangle.
By the way, that he played with a three-point champion.
Well, but
Tim Legler won one of those.
Yeah, I mean, there's a man of straw over there that he's punching. But
right.
Now, the idea that Scottie Pippen wasn't a great helper is wrong. He was outstanding.
Yeah.
He never had a guy on the level of an MVP candidate, Dwayne Wade, in his prime that he went and sought out. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, that's different.
It becomes just bad cliche radio if we just start debating LeBron versus Jordan.
Is it implies there's two sides?
In June of 2025. Also, I mean, we're just debating what's more of an apple or an orange.
Right.
Right? I mean, there's like a correct side, and then there's the side that other people want to. Come on, I'm having fun.
We're having fun.
Everybody's joking.
Fun.
We're just having some fun.
Ribbing and hanging out.
Who's funning?
Who's funning?
Anybody having fun here?
Are y'all funning?
We're just funning, but we don't need to do that.
No,
we could talk ring culture. We could do that. We'll all do it together. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Clary had a good zing. Tech said, I thought I had tuned into ESPN midday, but it was just Grant and Danny or something like that.
Well, he would know. He's a big old fan. He's sitting there pining for Greeny and Golic to come back and do these kind of takes there at home.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Fan. LeBron's bemoaning ring culture. Poor guy. Only 4 rings, only considered the second greatest player ever. And people, he just doesn't get enough credit. People are holding the lack of championships against him. Let's go, Al in Riverdale. What's up, Al? How are you?
Hey, my man. How you doing today?
We're great, buddy.
Chill. Greg and Danny. All right. So look, I've been on the phone so long now. So now, what was your question now?
Are you asking what our question was?
Yeah, okay, so you was talking about LeBron James, about him talking about his rings and stuff.
Yes, we were.
Okay, so look here. Hey, now, man, I heard a call before me talking about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan had help, man.
Of course
you
he
know
did.
Michael Jordan had help. Michael Jordan, he couldn't do it by himself. You know he couldn't do it by himself. It took him about nine to 10 years before he even go to the playoff, before he even win, before he even won one championship.
Took a while, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't 9 or 10 years, but I see your point. They, you know, went up against a Dynasty Celtics team, two of the great Pistons teams, where they lost in the conference finals multiple times. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. It took him getting some help, which he did, and then every time that group was together, they won a championship.
This is quickly becoming a Jordan LeBron thing. Again, that's happening.
It's our fault because we made jokes.
On every podcast that's ever, you know, your first episode that you send in. I don't even know that that needs to be the conversation. Ring culture is kind of the question. And does LeBron have a point that he should get more credit for greatness than he does? Is it held against him that he hasn't won more championships? I think if the question is that simple, the answer is yes.
Yes, 100% yes.
I just hate the playing victim for something that he's largely involved in creating. Let's go to Rick in Germantown. Hey, Rick.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to say that hypothetical question to you all. If LeBron would have gone to college, even as a one and done, would he have learned that the name on the front means more than the back, so he wouldn't be running around looking for a ring? Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate you. I don't think so. I don't think so. Because a one and done, you're already looking ahead for yourself anyway. You see what I'm saying? Like, and I don't begrudge that. Those are the rules at the time.
Duke for a year,
right?
And left, whether they won a championship or not, because you're going 1-1.
Yeah, you go play for Coach Cal, whose whole sales pitch to you is I'll turn you into an NBA player. That was what his destiny was. So no, I don't buy that hypothetical.
Let's go to Andrew in Annapolis. What's up, Andrew?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for calling. Taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I'm a big fan.
Appreciate you.
Yes, it turned into a Jordan versus LeBron. I'll take Jordan. But it just seemed LeBron had so much more talent on his teams. I mean, Dwayne Wade, personally, I think is better than Scottie Pippen. I think Luka is better than Scottie Pippen. But you had Chris Bosh to it. You had Kyrie Irving and things like that. They're all going to be top 50 players of that. You had Jordan had Horace Grant, who was good for a couple years for them, and then went to Orlando and did good. But Dennis Rodman, probably could still play today. Scottie Pippen, obviously, but that's it.
Yeah. So I'm bailing. I'm pulling the ripcord.
Yeah, we got to pull the ripcord.
People can't do it. We can't handle it. We're just doing LeBron versus Jordan now. Remember that, though. If we ever need something to talk about in the summer, we'll come back to that. We just throw out the child balloon and everyone can throw darts at the balloon until we knock it down. But I thought it was a good conversation while we could have it. I knew it was only a matter of time until we just started debating something that every barbershop in America, you know, every lunch cafeteria in every, you know, office park has had the debate. And we're the latest venue for it, which is fine. But
it's a good summer convo, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah, we got off the rails there. But the bow that I'll tie on it is, again, I think,
it's
LeBron,
just for people that are wondering, why do I? It's just the lowest common denominator sports talk. Like, my biggest fear is that someone hears us one time today for the first and only time ever, and they're like, oh my God, these guys are debating LeBron versus Jordan.
They're the same as First Take. Yeah. They're the same as the shouting show on FS1.
I won't be going down with this shit.
Right.
So I appreciate the calls.
So the comments that LeBron made basically about how we are obsessed with ring culture, and it's probably we overweight that in evaluation of player, I think is very astute and right on. I think that's totally correct. I don't know what to do about it exactly, because we're tournament obsessed. I know I am. I mean, you and I basically have a running argument for however many years about the Capitals. I mean, it's not like I'm passionate about arguing about it, but I'm going, it's harder for me to get excited about another regular season when the playoff success doesn't match that. And your point is, it's a gift every night. They're really, really good. Like, this should be more fun. We are tournament obsessed. We care about the playoffs way more. That's a longstanding sports argument that I think is worthwhile having. And I think he's got a point when it comes to something like that.
We're getting a call from our corporate office, oddly enough.
Oh, no. What do we do?
I don't know. Somebody, who is this?
This is Corporate Clary, actually.
Are we in trouble?
We are live. What are you saying, Danny?
Are we in trouble, buddy?
No. No one's in trouble.
Oh,
no one is in trouble at this point. But I felt like I had to call in. I'm not going to debate you, Jordan versus LeBron. We've done this a million times off air. I'm a LeBron guy. Everyone else is Jordan guy.
Come get your goat.
I know. Yeah. Grant starts trolling me on Twitter. He's like, come get your goat. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, I wanted to respond and just have like paragraphs on paragraphs debating this, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to answer the question at hand. I think LeBron James, yes, he is part of this ring culture. He is part of why that this is discussed every single day. It's because of LeBron James. But also, where we kind of get lost in this here is everyone is chasing rings. Not a single soul out there is signing with a team, except a couple of players here and there. But the main focal point for every single player is to win a championship. LeBron joined the Miami Heat to win a championship. LeBron James left Cleveland to go win a championship. Everything in an athlete's mind is to go win
that
championship.
Everybody wants to win them. Not everybody leaves to go chase them, though. There's a difference. So, you know, Giannis is an example. If he wins another one with Milwaukee, he'll be happy. But he's not just going to go hop around to nine places to make sure he gets them.
Well, I mean, if he hadn't won one already, then he may already have done that. We just don't know that. Like, yes, he is grateful that Milwaukee, they built a team that was ready to win a championship. LeBron James in Cleveland back in the day, he didn't really have that. He didn't really have a second.
So what's your point, though, Ryan? Are you just saying it? Do you agree with us that it gets held against him, or that everybody's chasing rings?
I mean, yes. Like, I do think that, just like to answer the first question back at 4:30 at this topic, was I think LeBron is part of this ring culture, and he is part of the problem with it. But also, like, I just think it's a silly conversation to be had, because everyone at the end of the day, they want a championship, and they'll really do whatever it takes to get that. In LeBron's case, he joined Miami. That's why he wanted to get a ring, and he won two of them.
And Cleveland. And the then Lakers.
But yeah, but the
and whoever will come next.
To me, the analogy would be like saying, man, we are obsessed with chocolate chip cookies, as I like go to four different stores to get chocolate chip cookies. Right? Like, is that kind of your point?
One,
yeah, everyone wants one.
If you don't have one in your pantry, not everybody's driving to nine stores to get them. But I want to pivot to something else, actually, while we have Corporate Clary on the line. Ryan, I wanted to see, with the Nats having lost 10 in a row, what we could get you to do until they win.
Oh, so you know, it's actually, you know, it's funny. I've actually been kind of workshopping this, because, you know, I had my own podcast on the side.
That's right.
And I was actually thinking of wearing a sweatshirt until they win a baseball game, like the same exact sweatshirt. Now, unfortunately, we're 10 games into this thing. I thought about this like over the weekend.
But this is why I think it's a great bit, right? I think if you do it now, they might win tonight.
They got Colorado tonight.
You never have to do anything. So my idea was, like, the sweatshirt thing, I don't know if that's not bad. You could not shower until they win. I think that would be funny. Mm-hmm. Your girlfriend might not like that very much. But here's one.
Yeah, you guys might not like that either.
That's true.
We wouldn't love that. Mm. My idea was, you have to sleep outside of the center field gate.
Until they win?
Yeah.
God. Hey, I love DC. I don't know if I'm going to be doing that. I don't know if you can count me on that at this point in time.
I mean, it'd be hilarious. We could get you like a lawn chair and like a pillow, and you just stay outside the center field gate. All the TV cameras, Scotty Abraham and company, come down and do interviews and record and keep you company. And you're just kind of chilling there, laying on the ground, sleeping until the Nats win. Now, the problem is, if they lose two to the Rockies, then they're going out to Dodger
Stadium.
Then
they go out west. Then what do you do?
Now, you might be there for a few nights. But, like, if you just declare it today and you get out there and you lay down in a sleeping bag and a pillow at, like, 8 p.m. and they win tonight, you have nothing to worry about.
I mean, I guess you're right. Like, I could potentially do that. Isn't there some, like, sort of weird thing? Like, isn't that loitering because it's private property? Like, I don't know the rules. Mm-hmm. I don't know the rules.
I don't think so.
I have a balcony. I have a balcony I could sleep outside on.
It might not be the safest option for us either.
I don't know how safe it is.
Yeah. Here was my idea. You're on camera when you're here, like behind me. You don't wear a shirt until they win. Like, when you come into work and we start the show, you go, here we go. And you take your shirt off and you don't have a shirt on until they win.
I got another one, because that's kind of uncomfortable. Although
that's the idea.
He's lost a lot of weight and he works out. So maybe he wants to be shirtless. Mm-hmm. How about it's like strip Nats. He takes off another article of clothing.
There it is.
Every day.
There it is.
Until the Nats win.
There it is.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that.
I don't think we can do like a shoe, you know?
I think you might have to. Just, you have to pace yourself. We're going out west.
That's true.
We are going. I can do that.
They win against the Rockies and it's all over. And it's like it never, you're just a hero who was willing to go to great lengths and didn't have to.
Yeah. I think that is a great idea. I think this is something we can continue to workshop. I'm all in on the bit. And quite frankly, let's be honest, I don't know if they're going to win tonight.
What could go wrong? They got Mitch Parker and Trevor Williams in the next two nights.
the
just
stoppers.
Please take the over on the first inning. Just take the over on the first inning. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, Ryan. Thank you, buddy.
All right. I'll see you guys.
Have
see
a good day. There's Ryan Clary from the corporate office.
From the head office. Yes. Thank you.
Maybe we shouldn't have him sleep in front of the center field gate.
I just feel like it's so dangerous.
It's a long night.
Yeah. Rodents might start nibbling at him there a little bit. You're sleeping on the ground.
Navy Yard during the day. Better place to hang out by yourself than overnight.
Overnight.
Mm-hmm. We'll rethink that. Mm-hmm. I care a lot about Ryan. We should rethink that. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So Toby and I always talk about this. What song would you walk up to if you played in the big leagues? Mm-hmm. This has long been my answer. Lupe Fiasco, Superstar. This would be my walk-up song.
Would you do different songs for different, like, at-bats? Like, remember Bryce would do one for each one?
Yeah. I think I probably would. But this would be, you know, when you think of Ryan Zimmerman, you think of, like, T.I. whatever you want or whatever. Bryce Harper, I think of.
Oh, that's interesting for Zim, you think of T.I.
What do you think of?
I think of the fun song, Tonight.
Really?
We are, yeah, I don't know why.
I think that T.I. song was like the last few years.
You can have whatever you like.
What do you think of for Bryce?
Sally.
Bring yes. Sally. Exactly. This would be the one you think of. What's Danny Hutier's walk-up song?
You know mine. Imperial March from Star Wars.
Not in a non-really nerdy, ridiculous way.
Oh, okay.
Like if you had to pick a real song.
The Imperial March from Star Wars. Is what I would do.
That's real interesting.
And only that forever.
The Lakers are being sold. The Lakers.
I didn't think I would ever see that in my lifetime.
That one's notable. That is Sham Sharania dropping a little nugget there, huh? $10 billion valuation.
I'm sorry. It sounds like you said $10 billion.
Now, I don't think they're selling the entirety of the team, so there's not $10 billion changing hands. But they're selling the majority of the team. So there's going to be $5+ billion changing hands. But if you want to know why, there's been a movement in sports to make it okay for companies and firms and countries and more than just individual people to buy organizations. Here's why. Unless you're Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, a very select group of people, who's going to be able to afford teams moving forward? Now, I know the Lakers, it's the Lakers, the Yankees. There's a couple of teams like that. I'm not suggesting that when the Nats sell, if they sell in a couple of years, it's going to be $7 billion, right? There's a lot of teams that are still going to sell for $1 to $3 billion or whatever. But there are teams now that where the ceiling is, certainly good NFL organizations that have been around a long time, Yankees, Lakers, those clubs, there aren't human beings. They're going to be able to individually buy those teams. When Washington sold at $6 billion, it took 17 super rich people to get together to go, I'll help you. Josh Harris has all the money. He couldn't have done it by himself.
No.
Mitch Rales, same thing. Now, maybe Mitch Rales and Josh Harris together, if they wanted to really you know, like me looking for a nice refrigerator. If me and the wife were like, why don't we get the nicest one we could find? And then for a couple of months, not eat any groceries.
You're selling all the businesses, your mortgage, you're getting rid of all the houses.
Yeah. 17 people locked arms to do that for the Commanders. I mean, how many people are going to be involved in a $10 billion valuation for the Lakers?
Yeah, it looks like Mark Walter, the CEO and chairman of Diversified Holding Company, TWG Global. So I don't know if that means it's like a Harris situation where he's got inordinate number of partners and he's kind of the leader of that group, or if it's just him, I don't know.
That's the guy that owns the Dodgers, the Sparks, Billie Jean Cup, Cadillac Formula One team, Professional Women's Hockey League.
But he's doing fine.
I would like to look at that portfolio.
Yeah.
Just to get a little peek.
A lot of sports in there. But I can't believe it.
Is it okay to covet that and be jealous?
Yes.
Of just like wondering what that feels like?
Yes.
Because that's not a good way to walk around normally. I would just want to open up the app once. Whatever his, whoever his financial guy is, works for whatever company.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to just have his cell phone, put my thumbprint down on it, go to the app where my money is, and just look at my account one time. What would that even feel like?
Imagine? Yeah, like it's a great bit that Warren Buffett does. Like if you take a picture with him, he lets you hold his wallet.
Really?
Yeah. It's like he's known for that bit.
That's very funny.
Like you can hold Warren Buffett's wallet. Now, all his stuff is, stock portfolio, cash. It's not like he's caring. I mean, I'm sure he cares around plenty of cash. He's doing very well. But like he's not known for being the most liquid dude, but still it's kind of a good bit.
Guy, he's only worth $6 billion.
This Mark Walter is?
Mark Walter.
Huh.
How much is he worth? According to Google, $6.1 billion. Hmm. That's way low, right?
I mean, for this?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd trade with him.
Again, he's doing fine. But that seems low to be able to just make a purchase like this.
By the way, Josh Harris's wealth, not to get into my guy's pockets, has done...
Now go ahead and tell people what I'm worth.
He's going in the right direction.
I went north.
This says he's worth $9.9 billion now.
That's up from six and change, Billy. That's pretty silly, bro.
I guess when you have an asset that you could probably sell for close to $7 billion, that probably helps the bottom line.
Yeah, when people want to do business with that asset instead of not want to do business with that asset for a decade plus, yeah, you're right.
Money is silly.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's so good to have.
I get that everything's not about money. And
some stuff is.
Money doesn't make you happy. You know how size type
be. Daniel Tosh is a great bit about it. Actually, he goes
$6 billion. Yeah.
Where he's like, money buys jet skis. Who, you ever seen someone unhappy on a jet ski?
Pretty true. What would be the amount of money where you'd be like, all right, I'm silly.
Silly?
Silly.
That's real interesting. Because there's levels of silly, right? I mean, the billionaire level, that's beyond silly.
Right.
That's like you take someone that's rich and you get 100 of his buddies and you add them all up and you still don't get to $1 billion.
Correct.
One unit of a billion, then you take multiple billions. So for me, like the silly guy, that's like double digit millions where you go, that dude's silly. Like you do that, you're silly.
This always is the way that I think I've done this on the show, probably the last time we had this conversation about how cool money is.
Yeah.
But the difference between a million and a billion, people just sleep.
Everyone sleeps.
They're like, oh, this guy has $1 million. That's so much. And then this guy has $1 billion. And you're like, it's only one letter off. It's pretty similar. You just don't get it.
It's 1,000 of those.
1 million seconds is about 12 days. Okay. 1 million seconds is 12 days.
Okay.
1 billion seconds is 32 years.
You see the difference?
12 days.
Are you seeing it?
32 years. 1 million minutes ago was approximately 2 years ago. Jump in the time machine, the DeLorean, go back 1 million minutes ago. It's 2023 in June. The Nats are on a losing streak, right?
Yeah.
Not 10 games, though.
Wait, Doc, are you telling me they're going to keep losing?
1 billion minutes ago was the year 114 AD. Like, come on. Come on, dude.
What?
I don't even know if this is right. I found this.
But I get the point.
1 million hours ago was the dawn of the 20th century, 1901.
Okay.
1 billion hours ago was around the time we think the first modern humans walked. 1 million years ago, 700 BC. 1 billion days. 1 billion days ago. 1 million days ago, 700 BC.
Yep.
1 billion days ago, 2.7 million years before BC. There's just a big
difference. It's so different.
It's so different.
It's so different.
billions of dollars.
What's the number you go, that dude's silly?
100 mil.
Like, so if you meet a dude, it's like, hey, this guy's worth 12 million bucks. You're like, eh.
No, I guess that. So I misunderstood the question. If you have a million is not silly. Like, that's cool.
Right.
You're way richer than me. Mm-hmm. I would say if you have 10 million in the bank, you're silly. But if you have 7 million, you're silly too. Maybe I'm going to say 5 million. But if you have 4 million, you're silly too.
Yeah, this guy only has 3.7. Sorry, not silly.
A NFL quarterback got pulled over going 101 miles an hour. We'll tell you who next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.